Welcome to Harry's Opinion, part of Live Real, Be Real philosophy, which you can find at liverealbereal.com. I'm going to talk to you today about money. Everybody has an opinion about money. From the time we're, get our first allowance right through school, and from our parents, we have certain things embedded in our DNA from our business experiences and, of course, from our life experiences. Also, all sorts of sayings that are, you know, and philosophies that are wrapped around money. One of my favorite is live within your means. I think the only thing missing from that saying is a huge giant thumb pressed down on your forehead, suppressing all of your hopes, dreams, and desires. As a matter of fact, on that saying, live within your means, I mean, really think about that. What it's saying is that if you don't have it, don't go for it. If you don't have the money, don't open a business. If you don't have the resources, don't save. If you don't, like, live within your means. Like, that's a pretty suppressive, depressing, in my opinion, viewpoint on money and your current. I mean, I just heard someone this morning interviewed a very, very successful entrepreneur. I believe his name is Harv Eker. Whether you like him, don't like him, I'm pretty sure he's for real. And he started his very first business with a $2,000 cash advance from his credit card, and within a couple of years had built a multi-million dollar company. Now, I'm not advocating that or recommending that, but it is annoying when people ignore these types of things. And forget about Harv Eker. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I subscribe to the philosophy live within your means, my net worth would be about 37 cents, because I too have had to use creative financing, credit cards, investments, private investments, to build our portfolio and to build our companies. And sometimes it went well and sometimes it didn't go so well. But the reality is that's how we built what we have today. So I think to say, no, the only way to get to where you want to go is pay cash and live within your means and don't dream and don't hope and don't stretch yourself and don't take risks, I just think that's a negative message. And again, I'm not talking about being reckless. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. But I think sometimes, and I've said this before, when you make the decision to go for it without everything being perfect, you reach down, you use your creative juices, you come up with the philosophy that failing isn't an option, and you somehow go either over the obstacles, under, to the left, to the right, but you somehow figure it out if there's a true desire and passion to create and accomplish what it is that that you're after. I even remember, I think the thing about money, though, and this is, I'm going to give this as a pass for many people. We're not taught a lot about money. You get handed down what your parents maybe did or didn't know. They certainly don't spend a lot of time about it in public school or high school. I don't remember a course on how to maximize your allowance or how to pay yourself first or, you know, how to invest in the stock market. I don't remember that. And then, of course, college, university, same thing. I'm not sure there's a real education committed to teaching people that, you know, it's great that we're all focused on building these great careers, but once you have a career, what are you going to do with the income that you generate? And then the other thing is, too, is what's the end game with the income? Another key thing that's missing, I mean, really the whole point of money, I think, is to use it to create passive or residual income so you're not as dependent on the job that you need in order to get the money. I think that very basic message is lost with thousands, millions of people. I mean, the reality is if you want to live, have choices, have a lot less pressure, I think the liberation of having passive income that maintains your standard of living without having to go out and generate revenue from either being a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, I think that's the true definition of financial success, freedom. And I'm not sure that we're taught that either. I think many of us are running like white laboratory rats on this plastic treadmill, and then we wake up one day and we're heading towards what people call retirement, which is this magic date where you get to just stop doing what you're doing and go on cruises and fishing. But unfortunately, millions and millions of people are figuring out that they didn't put enough away into passive income in order to truly enjoy this chapter of their lives. So instead of doing what they want to do under their terms and conditions. They're having to compromise, cut back their lifestyle, get a part-time job, sell their big homes and move into much smaller premises, or in whatever the case may be. So I think there's a real, we really missed the mark, I think, teaching people what money is all about and what ultimately the end game should be with money. And the other nice thing about becoming financially successful at a much higher level is the great things that you can do for your community, charities, and people that have significant needs as a result of going through a bad time or natural disasters, or there's all sorts of money that needs to be raised for challenging these horrible diseases that we all have to live with. So obviously becoming incredibly financially successful has a tremendous benefit to society as well. But again, this going back to that live within your means, I think there's a new mindset that needs to, and especially for younger people, they need to adopt. And that is, and it's truly, attitude truly is still everything. And I think people need to realize they can accomplish whatever it is they desire to accomplish. No one's any better than you. No one's, like, the reality is the same opportunities are there for everybody. The question is, why do some people grab on, achieve it, go for it, and actually make significant gains towards what they want to do? And why do so many of us suffer and suffer financially? And I wonder if it's because we buy in or believe these types of philosophies, like if you can't pay cash, you can't afford it, live within your means. That's for other people with bigger educations or more resources, or people that were, you know, born with a silver spoon. I really think there's a real mental problem. Again, going back to the neighborhood between years, I wonder if most of our financial stresses, most of our financial struggles, most of our financial anxiety probably goes back to whatever the financial DNA is set in our minds. I mean, the reality is, I think so many of us are thinking incredibly small when it comes to what you feel you can accomplish financially or what you're deserving of financially. And, you know, the way we're built as human beings, if you don't feel that you deserve something, you will sabotage yourself subliminally and not allow yourself to enjoy that. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say, well, I could never drive a car like that. I could never pull that off. Well, what in the world does that mean? You can't pull that off. I mean, it's okay if the car is not your style, but if you're saying it because you don't feel that you're worthy of driving a car like that, or worthy of living in a house like that, or worthy of wearing an outfit like that, I think you need to look in the mirror and say, where in the world did that come from? Where in the world did that self, you know, defacing, demeaning kind of philosophy or outlook about your personal financial journey, where was that seed planted? We always have to be careful what we read, who we hang out with, what things we kind of let into our personal worlds. But at the same token, I think we have to step back and really analyze, especially when it comes to finances, what the end game is for you. And, you know, when I think about my upbringing with money, I was doing stuff in my 20s and 30s. I didn't even know it was illegal. I was working as a young life insurance salesman, and I was on straight commission, and I would have two bank accounts. I had one with the Royal Bank and one with CIBC. Now, back in those days, in the 80s, when you deposited a check in the CIBC machine, it took 5 business days to clear. Same thing if you went to the Royal Bank machine and deposited a check, it took 5 days to clear. So I came up with this, and this was purely out of surviving, paying my bills, kind of keeping all the balls up in the air and not letting anybody down. I would write a check for, take a number of $1,000 from my CIBC checking account, deposit in Royal, and then I would take my Royal check and write $1,000 payable to myself, and I would deposit it in the CIBC, and then I knew I had 5 business days to figure out how to cover that check. Now, I probably had some type of commission on the way, or another idea, or something I was selling or buying, or, you know, some type of business opportunity I was in, because to the best of my knowledge, I never bounced those checks. I never got in trouble or called into the bank saying, hey, what are you doing here? But I didn't realize until years later that I was involved in something called kiting, which is completely illegal. So I suspect if anybody hears this today, then they can report me. I don't know what the statute of limitation is on kiting, but in reality, that's what I did. I also cycled my lines of credit. In other words, I would, you know, make a payment using my paycheck and then redraw it right away so I had enough money to live. So my financial education when I was working was very poor. I literally was like a white laboratory rat. I was working hard, spending money, wasn't paying myself first, and I was just trying to figure out how to balance everything. And after hearing some speakers, learning some things, studying, and frankly looking in the mirror, making the investment in what I think for everybody listening right now is the most important investment, which is in yourself, I started to educate myself on human potential, what I was capable of, what type of life I wanted to live. I truly had a desire after, I don't know how many years I was running on the treadmill, but I most certainly had a desire to get off of it. And one of the things that I did that I think really helped me is I was never good at keeping money. Even if I got a big commission, and I did fairly well selling life insurance, although, little sidebar, I remember on one particular appointment as a young life insurance salesman, I didn't have money to make. I remember reading this book or hearing a speaker saying, you've got to look like $1 million, you got to carry yourself like $1 million, you got to present yourself well. And I was shopping at Stitches back then or Le Chateau. I mean, honestly, these suits were built so poorly they're almost disposable. So I at one point I thought, you know what? No, I'm gonna invest in Harry James and I'm gonna get myself a Harry Rosen outfit. And I went out and it must have been 6 months of income, and on my credit card I put on these, I think there were $275, these gorgeous pants with cuffs and a spectacular jacket, and I went all out. And I remember going into an appointment to sell life insurance, and as I was talking and describing the benefits of what this particular program would do, this little white dog was nuzzling at my feet. And it did that the whole hour or hour and 15 minutes that I was in the appointment. And little did I realize when I stood up that this dog had actually chewed the cuff completely off my brand new pants. I mean, it was gone. I mean, this thing's teeth might have been, I did not feel a thing. It didn't tug once. It must have been like an alligator or something. But the reality is, I remember looking down, I hadn't even made my first payment on these pants yet, and the cuff was gone. And of course, I also didn't make the sale that night, which didn't help with my state of mind as I left the apartment. But my point is this, I didn't have the money, the knowledge, the wisdom as to how to know how to build and grow the stuff. I really didn't. But I learned over time that the best way for Harry James to build wealth was to hide money from myself. So I would somehow figure out how to afford a piece of rental real estate. Other people were paying it off, in other words, renters. And as long as I could come up with a down payment, I'd figure out how to continue to, you know, and I was still struggling. I would figure out how to pay my bills, how to consume, because there's really, if you think about it, two types of income or two types of cash flow. There is consumption, not income, but spending. There's consumption spending, and that is your mortgage or your rent, your car, your gas, your insurances, your food, all the things that we need to consume, the necessities of life. And then there's something called investment income, and that's stuff that goes up in value. And I wasn't that sophisticated, but I'd heard a number of real estate investors. I'd heard that real estate was a great way to build wealth. And I somehow got involved. And as a matter of fact, I bought my first condo for $1,000 down. So it wasn't a lot of money. And then I quickly found out I couldn't afford to live there myself. And I found a business person that could rent it. And that's how I started building equity in my real estate journey. So the ticket of entry was to come up with that $1,000 at the time and the closing costs or whatever else, as well as sign a large mortgage at that time, which is scary in itself. But as time went on, I found that it worked. In other words, every month that rent payment was paid, every month that mortgage payment was paid, I was building a little bit of something for myself. But here's the thing. I didn't wait until all my debts were paid off before I did that. I didn't wait until I had cash in the bank before I did that. I didn't wait until all of the stars were lined up before I did that. I did that purely out of desperation, purely out of just do something. So often in life, we want everything to be perfect before we do something. You want to make these big decisions and make the, and you know, create these big companies or big portfolios. And it's always better to start small. And that $1,000 started me on a trajectory, started me on a path that to this day has benefited me and my family in a very significant way. But it was born out of desperation. I didn't have the knowledge. I think one of the reasons I found that every penny I made disappeared, I had to find a vehicle where that I couldn't get at the money, that something was going to grow on my behalf as I continued to kind of go into work and show up and try to sell life insurance and all the other things that I was trying to do to make a living and support my family. Now, I've been rambling a bit, so let me try to land this plane with respect to Harry's opinion on money. This is specifically for my children and my grandchildren to kind of share my philosophy after working full-time now for almost 42 years. I started as a teller when I was 18 years old, and I've been in, I guess, banking and finance and insurance and real estate my whole life, self-employed for most of it. And so if somebody said, well, what have you learned about career and money? And I would say this. I think it'd be really, really cool if what you did for a living was meaningful and money was a byproduct. Whatever you put your hand to, you actually, maybe you don't love it, but you enjoy it. You feel you're making a difference. And you're also in a position to earn a level of income that allows you to maintain a standard of living that's important to you, in that you've written your own definition of success. There's people out there that want to make $10 million a year because they desire a certain lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's other people that are quite happy at $100,000 a year. As long as you're being true to the person in the mirror and not looking to your left or to your right or trying to live somebody else's life, I think that's the real key to success, is having the guts to do that. And then money being a byproduct. So I want to go back to what I was saying. When you get money, whether it's a small amount or a large amount, always, right off the top, pay yourself first. This is as old as the hills. But sock it away. Don't wait. You know, an old kind of formula from way back was give 10% away. The generosity is one of the cornerstones to success, no question. I don't even know if it's debatable. Make the world a better place somehow. Generosity will always, when done with the right heart, will never fail you. So give 10% away. Sock 10% away into some type of investment vehicle. And by the way, the earlier you start this, the more powerful it is. You start in your 20s. To match that in your 30s, you probably have to put in three times as much. So starting early is critical because you benefit from exponential growth through compounding interest. So it's an amazing way to build wealth. But so give 10% away, invest 10%, and live on 80%. And if you'll do that throughout your career, and you get good counsel, get good advisors, and that money that you're socking away, and if you get extra money, I'm not saying limit it to investing 10%, but when you get extra money, whether it be real estate or mutual funds or stocks or bonds or businesses or other types of things that are out there that are credible, if you keep paying yourself first, you're going to build up something called residual income. In other words, it's great that you're healthy and vibrant and enjoying your job, but the more you pay yourself first, the more you invest, the less dependent you are on that job and on that income. So in theory, every single year that goes by, you need less of an income from your job because your portfolio is building and can replace a portion of your income. And true financial freedom, true liberation comes when you're going to work because you want to, and not because you have to, because you paid yourself first and you built a portfolio of residual income. And yes, this is for everybody, not the exclusive few, not people with certain degrees or certain pedigrees or certain contacts. It absolutely is for everybody. And the key to really embracing this is understanding that the best investment you can make is to break the glass barrier off your brain if it's there limiting you. because you can achieve that if you invest in yourself, if you learn, you become a student of how to grow money, a student how to take advantage of opportunities. It's not just for other people. It is absolutely for you too. Look for inspiration. There's great books. There's great videos. There's great people on Instagram that have led the way. Now, again, like anything, discern. Don't just, you know, swipe up and sign up for something that you're not doing your homework. Make sure it's a credible, reliable source. But there's so many people out there that want to share how they accomplished what they've accomplished. They truly have a desire to help you live your dream and to help you enjoy your life as much as they're enjoying theirs. Money isn't everything. There's no question about it. But I'll tell you right now, if you don't have your financial house in order, it robs you of the things that are most important in life. Our relationships and relaxing and experiences and love, all those things get absolutely tainted and robbed when there's financial stress and pressure wrapping around your throat. So you can have your cake and eat it too. So let's change this whole live within your means to let's create our dreams. A little corny, but I like that better. Until next time.